The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, January 26th, 2015. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 35th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines, coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: The Guardian ran an interview with the Royal Shakespeare Company's head of digital development, Sarah Ellis, who spoke eloquently on how technology must inform creativity, not trump it. The Daily Mirror ran a story on the collapse of Brian Blessed on stage during a performance of King Lear of an apparent heart problem. He made it back on stage later in the evening and powered through the performance. Here's wishing the man, a kick-ass Exeter in Henry V, and a more kick-assier Prince Voltan back in Flash Gordon, a speedy recovery. Science 2.0 ran a story entitled Will Shakespeare, Secret Jesuit?, which examines, again, the possible religious affiliation of the bard. The Dallas News ran a story on the permanent collection at the Dallas Central Library, which includes a copy of the First Folio. The Scotsman ran a story on David Grieg's acclaimed 2011 play, Dunsinane, opening this week at Carolina Performing Arts, part of the University of North Carolina, which takes a different view on the Macbeth legend. The Augusta Free Press ran a story on the American Shakespeare Center announcing its 2015-16 artistic year, including Antony and Cleopatra, A Midsummer Night's Dream, The Winter's Tale, The Tempest, Measure for Measure, Julius Caesar, The Life of King Henry V, and Henry VI Part I under the title of Shakespeare's Joan of Arc. The Get West London website ran a story on the current production of Macbeth in West London at the Judi Dench Theatre, running through the 7th of February, citing its stark and brutal expressionism. Broadway World previewed the upcoming production of The Merry Wives of Windsor by Orlando Shakespeare Theatre, running from early February to early March. The post-war set play will be presented at the Margison Theatre in Orlando, Florida. Broadway World also previewed the upcoming production of Twelfth Night by Theater Project and TP & Company, running from mid-February through early March at Players Theater in Greenwich Village, New York City. This will be the launch of Shakespeare Off-Broadway, a new series dedicated to the presentation of vital and imaginative productions of Shakespeare. Broadway World also previewed the upcoming production of Richard III and Goal, or R3G, by Bloody Shakespeare as part of the 2015 Frigid New York Festival, using the NFL's Ray Lewis as a metaphor for Richard. The play runs in mid-February at Under St. Mark's. Al Arabia ran a story on the upcoming production of Romeo and Juliet by Hypocrite Theatre Company that gives the play a Bollywood twist. It runs during the month of February at the Access Theatre in New York City. Playbill previewed Druid Shakespeare, The History Plays, a marathon of 4 history plays presented at John Jay College by Druid Theatre Company of Galway, Ireland, in July. Broadway World reviewed King Lear by Southwest Shakespeare, running through the end of the month at the Mesa Arts Center in Phoenix, Arizona, saying the 20th century Sarajevo set play reminds us of the play's continued relevance. And finally, the Delaware County News Network reviewed Twelfth Night by Colonial Playhouse, calling the production that closes next week in Alden, Pennsylvania, a perfect introduction of the brilliance of Shakespeare to a younger generation. Now let's take a look at the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On January 20th, 1382, King Richard II married Anne of Bohemia, daughter of the Holy Roman Emperor. Richard was 15, she was 16. Their marriage would be childless, and she would die of the plague 12 years later. On January 21st, 1950, George Orwell died, famous for 1984 and Animal Farm, he was also the author of a 1947 critical essay, Lear, Tolstoy, and the Fool, which dismantled Tolstoy's own criticism of Shakespeare and King Lear. On January 22, 1371, Robert II of Scotland was born. Robert was a seventh-generation ancestor of James VI of Scotland, who became James I of England. And if that wasn't enough, he is, according to legend, a descendant, on his father's side, of Fleance and Banquo from the play Macbeth. On January 23, 1976, American actor Paul Robeson died of complications from a stroke at the age of 77. His 1943 Broadway run of Othello is the longest-running production of the play, starring an African-American to appear on Broadway, and was called by Michael Morrison the high point of Shakespeare in the 20th century. On January 24, 1594, the first performance of Titus Andronicus took place, at least according to Philip Henslowe's diary. On January 25, 1533, Henry V married Anne Boleyn, his second wife. The machinations necessary for this to take place were also at the root of the rise of the Church of England becoming the official national church. On January 26, 1944, famed Shakespearean actor Ralph Richardson, famed for his Hamlet and Falstaff, married for the second time to Mariel Forbes. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending January 26th, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the Real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.